This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So while you're sitting there trying to figure out what to do, and it's going to get cooler again, it's actually going to feel like the Christmas season again, going into New Year's and everything else, you know, you might want to take a chance and look at some flicks. Now, I like the older movies, right? The black and white films or the colorized films, even those are fine. But like, you know, Irving Berlin's White Christmas or It's a Wonderful Life. Those are always really good films to choose, but they're not the only ones out there. There's far more to offer than this. Now, the first one that comes to mind is the most controversial one because you probably find it very heavily edited, but Holiday Inn, which was the first real exposure. White Christmas came out in 1954. Holiday Inn came out in 1942. Both of them had Bing Crosby in it. Holiday Inn had Fred Astaire and Virginia Dale as well. And this was the first time you ever heard the song White Christmas or in a movie. But it came under fire because it has a blackface scene in a dance number where they're celebrating the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln. So a lot of people don't like it because of that. But then, if you don't want to go that route, then there is the delightful Christmas in Connecticut. The corporate girl in a small town storyline. It's got Barbara Stanwyck, Sydney Greenstreet. It's a great movie. And the premise is a food writer who's lied about being the perfect housewife. And she has to try to cover her deception because her boss and a returning war hero invite themselves to her home for a traditional family Christmas. And it's funny in a quaint way. But if you've never seen Christmas in Connecticut, go check that one out. Because that's a great flick. Nothing controversial about it. And she's supposed to be like the best cook in America. Can't cook a lick. Can't cook a lick. The Bishop's Wife. 1947. This is a story of an Episcopalian Bishop Henry who's struggling at Christmas. He loses sight of his family and why he became a churchman in the first place. That's the summation of the plot. After Henry prays for guidance, an angel named Dudley, played by Cary Grant, is sent to intercede and becomes very involved in caring for Henry's wife and daughter. The bishop becomes jealous, and he eventually realizes his family means more to him than anything. But that reordering of priorities is why Dudley was sent in the first place. Then there's Since You Went Away, 1944. This follows a family during World War II after the father leaves to serve in the military, leaving the mom and her two daughters to take care of themselves while he's gone. And, you know, this was going on during World War II, so it captures the grit and the loyalty of families serving on the home front. Then there is a great flick. I mean, my favorite actor is Jimmy Stewart, right? So, Shop Around the Corner. Jimmy Stewart, Margaret Sullivan. This is two rival shop workers who don't know that they are each other's anonymous pen pal, significant other. you know. This is pre-TikTok, of course. So they didn't have a TikTok to go. They didn't have the long-range relationship thing. And that has actually inspired multiple remakes, including in the good old Summertime in 1949 with Van Johnson and Judy Garland, and the You've Got Mail in 1998 with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. Then there's Judy Garland. Probably the saddest story of all is her story, but when she was acting and when she was singing, she was head above shoulders with most people. She put out a movie called Meet Me in St. Louis, set in 1903 ahead of Louisiana Purchase's World Fair in St. Louis, Missouri. Garland played Esther Smith, a young girl from a big family who falls in love with the boy next door. And then her father announces that he plans to move the longtime Missouri residing family all the way to New York. They prepare to follow his lead, only for all of them to discover they truly have it all right where they are. Then there's Doris Day. You can't forget Doris Day. She was great in her time. On Moonlight Bay, 1951. A tomboy, eldest daughter Marjorie, gives up baseball after catching the eye of the dashing, high and mighty scholar across the street, Gordon McRae. Gordon McRae was one of those classic singers there. He claims he doesn't believe in marriage, but after falling in love with Marjorie, both he and Marjorie's father eventually warm up to the idea. An Affair to Remember, 1957, with Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr. An American celebrity and a nightclub singer, both unmarried but stuck in loveless relationships, meet on a cruise ship. And at the end of the cruise, they agree to break off their current relationships and reunite the next year at the top of the Empire State Building. But that fails when a tragic accident keeps one of them from making the rendezvous. There's other films out there worth looking at. And my favorite film of all time is Rear Window, which, you know, has Jimmy Stewart. It's an Alfred Hitchcock film. Most of the Hitchcock films, The Birds, Rope, The Man Who Knew Too Much, Vertigo, Psycho, North by Northwest, all showcase Hitchcock's wonderful eye for intriguing camera angles and light and character. They didn't call this the Golden Age for nothing. Now, for you ladies who might want to bond with your daughters, you need to check out, you probably already have, but I mean, it's been a while if you have daughters now. Have you ever sat down and watched While You Were Sleeping with Sandra Bullock or Sleepless in Seattle with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan? That'd be a fine way to spend a lazy day. If for no other reason that they both mention sleeping, because, you know, I do like some sleeping. Some more other modern films, The Family Man. That's a Nicolas Cage film. There was a time in the 2000s where Nick Cage was in everything. And this is one of those films. Although this one is actually a family story. It's a good family story. The Preacher's Wife. But what about Golden Age TV? You could go find, go to the Sci-Fi Channel on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and watch the 48-hour Twilight Zone Marathon. Which, your eyes would be just little dots in the middle of your head by the time it was over. But, you know, if you want to sit around and enjoy that kind of thing. So on the text line, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, John Wayne and Lee Marvin and Jimmy Stewart. That's a great flick. And Mr. Smith Goes to Washington as well, yeah. There was also a TV series called Alfred Hitchcock Presents, which ran from 55 to 62. And you can find that series available on Peacock. But if you really want to watch something that's going to split your ribs, go look up some old episodes of The Carol Burnett Show from 1967 into 78. When she brought Tim Conway in, and Harvey Korman, and she and Vicki Lawrence were there, that was just laughing the whole time. They couldn't stay in character. So have a little fun this week, because the whole ugly world is going to be waiting for you when you get back. Now, one thing that you can do as we're going forward into this is stop worrying about the predictions you're hearing about the upcoming election and just vote. I'll explain why that is the best way. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
One of the shortcomings of the 24/7 news cycle is that we are assaulted daily with an endless parade of pundits and politicians and consultants who will tell you that they can predict the future. Yeah. I'm surprised. Well, I guess it probably started in 2024. As soon as Trump won, they're out there going, well, in 2028, it'll probably be, you know, all that other stuff. Every election season, these same mental midgets rush to the cameras, declare with absolute confidence that their side is sure to win, as if they've all been handed some secret scroll with the results written down. And I can tell you, with a high degree of confidence, that that is not the fact, Jack. On ABC's This Week on Sunday, Nancy Pelosi joined the crystal ball-wielding crowd, confidently predicting that the Democrats will retake the House in the 2026 midterms and that Hakeem Jeffries will be the next speaker. And she said, Hakeem Jeffries is ready. He's eloquent. He's respected by the members. He's a unifier. Jonathan Carl. He asked her whether she had any doubts about Jeffries leading the chamber. She didn't hesitate. None, she said. And that's the Pelosi brand. Without a doubt. Absolute unwavering confidence behind a layer of Botox. Now, while she's sitting there, sounding all kinds of confident and all kinds of, convinced, she's also mostly... This is mostly theatrical at the moment. She hasn't got a clue. None of them have a clue. Well, some of us have a clue, but we're basing it on logic. But what she's doing is what political veterans do best. They tell her party what it wants to hear. And that's what the Democrats want to hear. That they're going to win. That they're going to be in charge again. That they're going to be relevant. We've heard it all before. Pelosi almost said the same thing last year when she endorsed Kamala Harris after Joe Biden dropped out. She said, politically, make no mistake, Kamala Harris as a woman in politics is brilliantly astute. And I have full confidence that she will lead us to victory in November. Now, that was obvious. You know, if there's such a thing as a projection semantically, that was one. That was the only one. The bestest one. Who uses the word brilliant to describe Kamala Harris? And what ultimately happened? Democrats lost the White House, the House, and the Senate. They lost every swing state, not just some of them, but every single one of them. And yet Pelosi's still out there pretending like projecting confidence will assure the result she wants. Now, as the keeper of the coven that she is, that's Pelosi's job, actually. I can't fault her for doing it. She's delusional, but I can't fault her. But she wasn't the only one caught in fantasy land. The supposedly objective experts were right there with her. Alan Lichtman, the historian with his much-hyped Keys to the White House prediction model, claimed Harris would cruise to victory. Now, his system had been accurate since 1984, which had so many convinced her victory was inevitable. And the problem with his model was that many of the keys were subjective. And when if you took these keys yourself and took a look at the keys and said, let's look at these keys. Let's take a look. Hey, wait a minute. The keys are saying Trump. And his keys weren't the problem. His bias was. He twisted his own model to fit his politics and it blew up in his face. Which then brings us to the famed Democrat consultant James Carville. I hope I never have to interview the dude because his thing is, well, this way he's going to be. Of course, you understand. It's going to be as good as gumbo. I mean, I'm down here in Louisiana. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm predicting. I know what's going to happen. And you're just looking at him saying, When is he going to just pass out from that rash, all that oxygen he's expelling while he's ranting like that? Now, Carville didn't just predict a Kamala Harris victory. He guaranteed it. He said, America, it'll be all okay. Ms. Harris will be elected the next president of the United States. Of this, I'm certain. And America did turn out fine. You know, he was right about part of it. Yeah, we're going to be fine. Not because Carville got it right. And the problem isn't poor predictions. When you're predicting this kind of stuff, there's a lot of things to take into play. And when I was talking earlier about crime being complex, well, that's because these kind of things are complex as well. And knowing that, while you're sitting there, you have to take a few things into consideration. Now, people in the business of politics live in a bubble, and it rewards confidence over honesty. They don't get paid to be right. They get paid to make their side hopeful. So Pelosi and Carville and Lichtman, pick your poison. They're all part of the same choir, singing as loudly as they can to drown out the sound of political reality. And the same thing happens on the Republican side, too. And it's just as useless. Could the Democrats win the House back next year? Sure. History is arguably on their side, but there's no guarantee. Pelosi doesn't have insider knowledge about how 2026 will shake out. None of these folks do. What they have is a megaphone and a base that demands reassurance, so they deliver it every time, facts be damned. And if there's one thing that you, as a voter, should know, it's to tune out anyone who swears they know what's coming. Because politics is chaos wrapped in ego. Predictions don't win elections. You win elections. Voters win elections. And if history's any guide, the loudest voices in the pundit class are going to be just as wrong next time as well. Candace Owens got out there the other day and she decided to channel her inner mean girl, because she's saying that we're trying to make radical Islam happen. I think you've got that the other way around, sweetheart. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, let's go to Pico. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
How are you guys doing? I hope you had a wonderful Merry Christmas. I think we're in for a fabulous, exciting new year. I really do. I like a lot of things what's going on right now in this world, thanks to Donald Trump and his administration. I wanted to kind of put a little image in your mind. You triggered my feces were triggered. These trolls that call in, they think they're accomplishing something. All they're doing is wasting people's time. But have you ever thought that they're probably in a furry costume? Something like a squirrel with fangs and lipstick and a tutu?
Well, I'd be laughing too much if I did that. This guy actually has a YouTube channel. This is a thing for him. He's done this thousands of times at different shows all across the United States. And what he does is he steals their video feed, and he steals a call, and he puts it up as his content. And it's going about as well as you might think that would.
He's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's just disgusting. But that's, you know, they figure that that's part of their glee, is that they're disgusting people. They just want to make people miserable as they are, but they're never going to work because we've got a decent president for once.
Yep.
And we've also got an outstanding administration. You were talking about movies, triggered more of my fifis.
Ah.
And by the way, I was just at Dewey's earlier today.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they were where I did my truck driver training about 9 years ago. They're over at Donaldson Airport. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I said hello to Dewey. Do you know Frank?
I know by name, and some of them, you know, I fist bump everybody when I go in there.
No big deal.
Yeah.
I was talking to Frank. He's kind of a gunsmith type guy, but I said hello to Dewey. I said, I love hearing you and Bill talk, and he kind of looked up at me. But, he was doing business. He's kind of a business, straightforward guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect him to dance around or anything. But you mentioned Barbara Stanwyck earlier. Have you ever seen her in the original Titanic?
I have not.
Okay, you mentioned something about the corporate girl thing. It's a little bit like that, and it's a fabulous movie, and it was done way, 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 way back then. So thank you again, and I'm in my ICBM, and I don't know why the lane departure. It sounds like a .50 caliber. Did you hear that just now?
I did.
My
there it is.
It's a lane departure.
Yeah.
And it sounds like one of the saddest movies. It won't stop. I'm gonna let you go.
Okay.
Thank you for what you do.
Keep
Thank
the shiny
you.
Side up. Happy New Year to you.
Yes, sir. You too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We'll be in touch. Bye-bye.
All right. Barbara Stanwyck. Yeah, she was. Barbara Stanwyck was one of those. She had a very long career. Very long career. Now let's go to Candace, because Candace is demanding. Because if you know, you know. It's a false flag. There's no radical Islam. It's fake. It's fictional. It's phony. A writer made it up, sold it to the rubes. Then they would vote for massive military budgets and support misguided adventures in Iraq and Afghanistan. And if there's no radical Islam, you can bet your life there isn't any mainstream Islamic ideology of jihad that calls on Muslims to wage war against non-Muslims and subjugate them under the hegemony of Islamic law. I mean, come on. What about the Book of Leviticus? Wake up already. Now, Candace Owens has woken up. Back in March 2019, before her eyes were open and she was able to see things the way they really are, the renowned Candace of the contemporary scene wrote, "The left routinely mocks Christians, defends anti-Semitism, and yet demands we all shut up about Islam. No, no, and no. We're going to talk about it." This past Friday, the same person wrote, "No matter how hard the GOP tries to make radical Islam happen, the base doesn't care about it. We are way more concerned about Israel. You can deny reality and scream about Tucker, but the party can no longer be governed by those who refuse to acknowledge the Zionist elephant in the room. I'm just trying to spare you guys the inevitable billion-dollar ISIS is coming digital campaign, wherein a bunch of online influencers will suddenly pretend they're deeply concerned about the threat of radical Islam. Our concerns about the Middle East begin with the Israeli occupation in D.C. I hope this helps." Now, the base may or may not care about it. The Owens seem to be unaware or indifferent to the fact that a poll at Turning Point USA's AmFest listed radical Islam as the greatest threat the nation faces. And there is no doubt that even now, almost a quarter century after the September 11th, 2001 jihad terror attacks, that there's an immense amount of ignorance and indifference about this threat. I have been shouting into this void myself for a very long time. I don't believe the GOP is ginning any of this up. If anything else, they're not doing enough. They're not leveling with you enough. In a lot of cases, and I'll go this far as saying the GOP has generally shown that it cares only a bit more than Candace Owens herself does, even if they don't share her hateful paranoia about, you know, the tiny Jewish state. There's fewer Jews today than there were before World War II, before the Holocaust. There's 15 million of them worldwide. And, I don't know how many Islamics are in Europe, but it might be, you know. There's a lot, you know, there's a billion Muslims out there, a billion plus. Now, Owens is delivering her statements with the same air of absolute certainty that you would get from a Nancy Pelosi. And they raise more questions than they answer. Will she have us believe that everything that has to do with jihad is a product of Mossad fakery? What about the Muslim migrant named Cholo Abdi Abdullah, sentenced to prison for his efforts to hijack a plane and fly it into the Atlanta Bank of America building? Or the University of Delaware, an Afghan Muslim migrant named Lugman Khan, busted with guns and ammo, he's planning to shoot up his school for Allah? Or Ramanallah Lakhanwal screamed Allahu Akbar as he shot two National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. Mid-November, three Muslims from Dearborn caught planning a series of jihad massacres, including one at the Chicago Pride Parade. Queers for Palestine could not be reached for comment. In November, a Muslim named Zimnako Salah was sentenced to 6 years in prison for placing hoax bombs in churches in California, Arizona, and Colorado, apparently in order to strike terror in the enemies of Allah. So does Candace Owens believe, or would she have us believe, that the Israelis are so diabolically clever that they're somehow able to persuade all of these Muslims to mount jihad attacks for them and spend decades in prison for doing so, or die in some cases. And those were just the jihad attacks and plots from November and December. What about all those Hezbollah pagers? How is Israel able to persuade these guys to do it after they blow these guys up by sending them a page? So these Muslims, here in the United States, plotting murder and mayhem inside the United States, all of them are just willing agents of the Jews and the Republicans. Is that right, Candace? Is that what you want me to believe? Now, I would submit to you that in the world of logic, that simply would not be the case. Unless, of course, we don't believe the Holocaust happened. I mean, if with the true master race of the planet that's using all of us as lackeys, would they allow 6 million of their number to be killed? Would they allow that? And how is it that they've not been able to rejuvenate their numbers to their pre-World War II population since the mid-40s, since it all ended? How's that possible? How'd that work out? So, if you are a follower of Candace Owens and you believe her, okay, well, that's your privilege. But I don't. There's just too much in there that I just can't fathom to save myself. So, anyway. New York State has legalized doctors prescribing death. And I'm going to explain to you why that is just so, so foolish. This is News Talk, 98.9 WORD. Understand this. As an American citizen, you're entitled to live your life out until it is over with. But one thing is for certain, we all are going to go to our final reward. And that should be just something you accept as you go along. It's in the same vein as your horoscope. And what would your horoscope say if it were actually telling you the truth?
Here's a horoscope for everyone. Aquarius, you're gonna die. Capricorn, you're gonna die. Gemini, you're gonna die twice.
There you go. That's the true horoscope. Eventually, we all go. Now they're making it easier for you, though. And it shouldn't be this easy, because as they start this, it will devolve into something else. New York Governor Hochul has announced last week that she will sign a bill legalizing medically assisted suicide for adults with a terminal illness. She says she's passing the Medical Aid in Dying Act, just like Canada, due to the genuine and deeply held belief that government must respect the rights and will of the people it serves. Now, they always come out like this in the beginning. To qualify, an adult must be mentally competent and have a prognosis of 6 months or less to live. The bill also makes clear that anyone who makes the request for medical assisted suicide must not be considered suicidal, and taking medication to intentionally end one's life should not be considered a suicide. Except it is. It is. This lets New York join the club of 12 states and the District of Columbia that preach suicide as a form of medical aid in dying. It will allow individual doctors and religiously affiliated health facilities to decline offering suicide as a form of treatment to those who are suicidal. And then doctors must promptly transfer requesting clients to a health care provider who is willing to permit the prescribing, dispensing, ordering, or self-administering of suicide medication. Self-administering. So you can probably get it done at your local pharmacy. Hochul, whose own mom died from ALS, writes, "I've heard stories of a parent or spouse pleading for an end to the suffering. I am all too familiar with the pain of seeing someone you love suffer and feeling powerless to stop it. I have never had any form of terminal illness, but I watched my mom fight cancer for 5 years and die. It's no easy thing to watch, and I can conclude it's even harder to fight. And yet, that doesn't mean we should let our government allow the terminally ill to kill themselves as a form of so-called health care. Because sometimes things happen. In my family, there was a guy in Little Canada, North Carolina, called Jack Frady. He was my great uncle. Great Uncle Jack raised Fraser fir trees. He was surrounded by his own herd of his own making of miniature collie dogs. He did not need a speaker for you to hear him from one side of the valley to the other. He had a booming voice. And he came down with a cancer. And I was too young to understand what kind of cancer it was. I just knew that this Uncle Jack that I'd met a couple of times had cancer and was probably going to die. And then it went away. It went away. And he lived on, and then eventually he ended up in the hospital, not from that, until his death. I think he was in his upper 80s, maybe 90s. My grandfather died at 94. And when things like that can happen, where do we make the line and say, okay, because when they're making a prognosis of a lifespan, all that is an educated prediction that is never 100% guaranteed correct. Like J.J. Hansen, an anti-physician assisted suicide activist who died from terminal brain cancer. At the time of his prognosis, he was given 4 months to live. Yet, he was 3 years, 3 months, and 18 days late for an appointment that allowed him to meet his newborn, who doctors said he'd never get to meet. Hochul also writes that a psychologist or psychiatrist must assess the patient to ensure they're capable of making the decision and not under duress. If you have a terminal illness, how is that not under some form of duress? I'm just asking. Licensed therapists and medical professions are required by law to report when a client expresses intentions of suicide due to suicide being a clear sign of distress. Medical professionals have a duty to utilize the strengths-based approach that encourages resilience and confidence in ability, especially when it comes to client mental health and suicidal ideation. They often in New York, they also have to require the patients to sign their request to die and makes it clear that medical professionals shall not be subject to liability for prescribing or refusing to prescribe suicide medicine. When California started this, 2016, 111 individuals died by medically assisted suicide. By 2024, it was to 1,032, and the highest demographic being white females in their 80s with malignant neoplasms. And those numbers will continue to climb because it's always a bad... Adopting suicide is a bad idea. It's always been a bad idea. It's always going to be a bad idea. Coming up next... It is the Charlie James Show. And this is News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.